This is the Cube Talk America Radio Network.
And we're back for what now is hour two. If you missed the first hour, basically it was a travelogue.
The View.
Everything Al's done the past 2 weeks out of the country. But it was a good time. And Kat just made a new cocktail. Because, you know, that's what Kat does. She's a mixologist, for those of you that don't know. So she was muddling something in the kitchen. Am I got Al? What is wrong with you? Is there allergies?
Allergy season.
Take Zyrtec. That's what I've been doing. I'm perfect. I got everything good. My little cough is gone. Everything's back to normal. Anywho. Oh, I forgot I have to do this. You got to take that off tasty. So you can see us. There's that. Anywho, hour two is coming right now. We got a little bit of headlines coming up a little bit later. Maybe some obsession stuff and entertainment, but now...
Oh, definitely obsessions. I have a real obsession.
Oh, he has one. All right. Well, a woman in Ohio was arrested Saturday after allegedly getting drunk and making lewd comments to an Easter Bunny impersonator at a park. And I like the fact that the story had to say Easter Bunny impersonator.
Right.
Because you know there's a real one somewhere.
Ain't nothing.
And
like
number two, who hasn't
thing.
Gotten drunk? And abused an Easter Bunny interpreter.
I'd like to know who hasn't gotten drunk and been in a bunny costume. Because I figure if your life is impersonating these things at a mall, you know, like Bad Santa,
probably
like Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Mansfield Police Department said they were called to the Richland Carousel Park after receiving a complaint that LaDonna Hewitt, age 54, appeared to be intoxicated while having her picture taken with said Easter Bunny. Hewitt was said to have made lewd comments to the bunny, then took a ride on a carousel. The incident took place at the Carousel Park in the city's downtown area, located about 80 miles south of Cleveland, Ohio. The 54-year-old, quote, showed common signs of intoxication. Police said that these signs included slurred speech, bloodshot eyes, an odor of alcohol in her breath, along with a general sense of unsteadiness. She was arrested on drunkenness charges and taken to the Richland County Jail. At press time, there was not a listing of legal representation for her or the bunny.
Again, who hasn't gotten drunk and said, let's go take a picture with the Easter bunny, and then had it turn horribly wrong?
When I saw this headline, what I was praying for was that somebody had, there was a video or at least audio of whatever the hell she was saying to the bunny, because I think that would be fantastic. What do you need, paper?
Yeah.
The whole thing?
No, just maybe write something down.
Okay, well, here. Give a pen?
Yeah.
God, you can bring...
It just came to me.
Oh, okay, got it.
Wow, inspiration, you got to open the pen.
Ms. Carlson.
Well, there were hoots of laughter from guests at a recent wedding when an owl that was supposed to be delivering the rings instead attacked one of the best men. All seemed well when the bird of prey flew down the aisle and landed on the arm of the first best man. But after a brief pause, the owl turned on the second best man, knocking him off his seat, drawing gasps and laughter from the wide-eyed guests. Quote, the best man's reaction when he fell off the seat and the crowd erupting into laughter was just great. For some reason, the owl just decided he wanted to go for him, and he was just terrified.
Oh.
Yeah. He was absolutely petrified of anything that flies, the wedding photographer says.
Yes. And an owl is, they're like, they got wingspans of like 25 feet.
First of all, who does this? The barn owl, which they're pretty big owls, was hired as the ring bearer at this wedding.
What the fuck is wrong with people?
After accosting the best man, the owl perched on the table used for signing the wedding register and glowered at the congregation.
Wait, glowered?
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever used that word on the show. Glowered?
Yeah.
I'm gonna drink to it.
Okay.
No, fair.
Cheers.
Cheers indeed.
Absolutely.
Here's to your glower.
Up your glower.
Yeah. No, I'm glowering at you, baby.
Come on.
Do what you gotta with
Mr. Bunny. Mr. Owl.
Oh.
Fucker.
The photographer continues and says, it was one of the best moments I've ever seen.
I don't know a lot about the owl, but I'm a fan.
I am a fan.
She says, one of my friends had an owl ring bearer. Apparently this is a thing.
Oh, no.
I guess it is.
Stop.
And unfortunately...
Stop. Straight people are getting married wrong.
Sometimes it goes afoul.
Yeah. Oh, I did not laugh at that. I would like that redacted. I'd like to reclaim my time.
No, you cannot. No, you cannot.
I was a proud woman just recently. Gone.
In any event.
Yeah.
Apparently this is a thing that happened.
Stop.
It happened this time and was hilarious. It happened another time and everything went according to plan. Why has this happened more than
rogue
once
owls.
Is what I want to know.
Rogue owls.
Right. Who could...
What's the headline of this story? What's it called?
People do fucked up things.
Owls of laughter as winged ring bearer attacks best man.
Okay.
From the
that
Guardian.
Would get my attention. I gotta well played, Guardian.
I think ring bearer gone afoul would have been a better... That just for,
that
that's just
been
me.
Lovely.
That's
right.
Just me.
Listen to me, good people of Earth.
No, wait a minute.
Don't hire do large birds of prey. No, that's my thoughtful vulgarity question for the end. And I was afraid I'd forget it.
Don't forget it.
You can't even read it, but I know what it says.
Okay, good. I'll show this to you later because I don't. I
wrote it in code. Yeah.
Did you remember your decoder ring?
No, he doesn't. We're going to need a box of honeycombs to figure it out.
I need to have a meeting later where somebody brings me a decoder ring.
Yeah, maybe a stop drinking token. All right, continue on.
Would you like a mojito?
I just need to stop drinking this. Okay. So, okay, remember a couple of years ago, last year, recently? I went to college for
this. Would you like to pick a time frame?
No.
On a day sometime before today.
Right now.
In a world.
Moments ago or a decade ago.
But remember the kid got decapitated on the water slide? Well. As a water slide enthusiast.
Oh, yes, you are.
I do follow the water slide desk quite closely. I mean, not with the accuracy of the opioid crisis. But it's pretty close.
Laser focused.
Yeah, we are laser focused.
Sure.
This is more like lazy eyed focused. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see them right now.
Just look at the bridge of his nose. You're safer.
So two designers of a massive water site in Kansas on which a 10-year-old boy was decapitated face second-degree murder charges in connection with the child's death. So the cops don't get indicted for stuff, but these motherfuckers do. The indictment of Jeffrey Henry, who was also a co-owner of the, Schlitterbahn Water Park.
Oh, I remember
it is
now.
Not called this.
I remember now because it's the Schlitterbahn. I do recall this story because of that name.
And John Schooley brings to three the number of people.
Schlitterbahn and Schooley.
Yeah.
I don't think I was here that week.
Brings to three the number of people indicted in the case. The construction company involved in designing and building the what the fuck is going on in Virginia or Kansas? The Verruckt Ride, the world's tallest water slide, was also charged with reckless second-degree murder, according to the indictment unsealed Tuesday. Tyler Austin Miles, the former director of operations and the water park itself, were charged last week with involuntary manslaughter, according to an indictment unsealed Friday. So, I mean, it's just...
I need to know how the kid got decapitated. It wasn't from the water.
No, he was decapitated when the raft and the two women were strapped into went airborne.
Oh.
So they hit some air.
Got it. Caught
and
air.
Then they just kind of got decapitated
as
by
something
the,
going over their head.
So the part that you're missing is the two girls in the back had a free head for the rest of the ride.
Wow. Sorry.
My volume?
I mean, watching porn.
We usually recommend you shipping the head separately due to its weight.
Oh. Because you don't want your bag to be overweight.
Right. So
the Schlitterbahn.
So it's just this deadly ride that I guess no one ever thought that three people, skinny people, would ever get on it. Like, I don't understand.
Oh, that's the reason, because they were too light, it caught air.
Yeah, it was designed for, so, Verruckt, which means insane in German.
Yeah, because it is.
I like how you're following up on his story, and you got more going than he does. I appreciate this.
Team effort.
Yeah.
No. Team
it's
effort.
It's good to be a helper.
Yeah, it is.
Mr. Rogers says, look for the helper.
Sometimes it's a reach around, but still.
Whatever it takes, man.
Whatever it takes.
The insane water slide requires 2 to 3 riders to be strapped into a raft with a total weight between 400 and 500 pounds. So if lighter folks,
right.
The math is not going to work for them because it was designed for 400 to 500 pounds on that raft.
Mm-hmm. He laid
Caleb
down.
is the deceased's name. He was decapitated when the raft he and two women were strapped into went airborne and collided with the overhead hoops.
Why are there overhead hoops? Anybody ever asked that question?
Because you usually go through a tunnel.
Bingo.
Yeah, you got to keep it all together.
Wow.
What else?
So you're charged with involuntary was it involuntary manslaughter? I would assume.
Second
degree
murder.
But I would think it wouldn't be the designer so much as the person that let
Let them go, right.
The three people got on the ride, they're like, you're all skinny.
Right.
We're gonna need some... whoever said, check the weight.
Yeah.
Like, if three skinny people come up, one of them's got to find a fat friend.
Yeah, but there's an indictment here that notes that...
But the park was indicted, well, so no. That's part of it.
And in the indictment, one of the key designers, quote, possessed no technical or engineering credentials and yet controlled many key decisions in the design.
Oh, there you go.
So This is... I mean, it's just negligence. We didn't do our math.
It's like somebody trying to run the government who's never been in it before and has no idea how it works, but is just left at the helm.
Listen, it doesn't matter what it is. Always check the other person's math.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I checked my mother's math today because she was wrong.
Oh.
Yeah, we're planning like a summer vacation, and so we're like splitting housing and everything because we rented a beach house. And
well, like my grandfather always said, you know, it's like measure twice, cut once.
Right. Yeah.
Figure it out first.
Right.
But I've never tried to build a water slide.
And I was delighted to
Maybe
point
that's,
out, Mom.
Maybe that'll be my thing for this summer. Maybe
I'm not 100% sure your police work there.
Build a water slide in my spare time. Who knows?
Maybe.
What's going on.
Maybe.
Or maybe not. Anyhow.
Clayton, something you'd like to tell us in a story?
Well, yeah, I'm going to tell another story.
There was a cover-up, too.
Oh, do tell.
Carry on.
This is a 2020...
Well, according to the indictment, when Caleb's death appeared to be, at first, an isolated and unforeseeable incident, park employees then came forward and revealed that Schlitterbahn officials had covered up similar incidents in the past involving the water slide.
Oh.
It's a whole fucking thing.
You know, there's a lot of it coming out in news lately. A lot of different things where, you know, you pull one thread of the sweater and then come to find out there's five other threads out there that everybody's been wanting to tug for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole fucking thing just falls apart. Well, in a modern-day horror story, a two-year-old child input an incorrect passcode on an iPhone so many times that the device became locked for 47 years. And I don't know if you all realize this. For those of you who have a lot of electronic devices, if you incorrectly put the passcode in, it will give you a timeout. It starts at a small amount, then it will increase and
Please
increase.
Please try again in 1 minute.
Right. Now, I don't know if this is the same for all different brands and makes and models of phones, but... I know an iPhone does it. So basically, he entered it so many times that it locked it for 47 years, rendering it basically useless for its owner. Well, that's the scenario now facing a Shanghai mother identified only as Miss Lu by the Chinese news, who reports her toddler unfortunately took the time allotted to watch educational videos on the phone and instead began the process of disabling the device, basically forever for her. According to the news reports, Miss Lu waited for 2 months to see if the situation would improve. I'm going to guess it improved by 2 months. So now it's 46 years, 10 months.
And just keeps going up.
But the phone remained locked. She says, I couldn't really wait for 47 years and tell my grandchild it was your father's mistake, she reportedly said. The alternative mode was accessing the phone. The alternative mode to of accessing the phone is to wipe it with a factory reset, which is why you should always keep your data backed up. iPhones can become locked after 6 failed attempts at inputting a passcode on the lock screen, and the amount of time for which the phone is locked can compound with ongoing attempts to try to break into the phone. So for all parents out there, may be careful for letting your kids loose with your phone. The little ones like to just touch buttons. They don't know what they're doing.
They don't. Or do they?
And this is assuming that you want us to be able to use your phone at some point. It's been a long time. I had done that one time, and you know it's like 15 minutes or whatever, but that was years and years ago.
First of all, stop letting your children use your damn phone.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point.
There are affordable
gadgets,
devices for them to use.
That they're not making prank phone calls to your boss.
Buy those.
They're like a fire alarm. Give them one of those.
$40 will get you a Kindle Fire. Gets them all the shit that they need, and it's not your damn phone.
Yes, true.
Drives me. It's every time I see somebody just hand their phone over to their child, I'm like, do you hate money?
Or an iPad that has no, or something that has no lock on it.
Right.
Do you hate money? It's a good question.
Well, speaking of gone too far, I like examples of the internet just being the internet. Here's what's happened. A food writer has wowed Twitter with her unusual and expensive approach to achieving a perfectly crispy skin on a roast chicken. Now, you know how important that
is. We have talked about
is.
That so many times on this cooking
Laser
show.
Laser focused on that chicken skin. Well, a woman by the name of Helen Rossner, who's a food writer for The New Yorker, has uploaded a photo of herself using a $400 Dyson supersonic hairdryer to blow dry her chicken.
What?
That's right. That's how she's getting that Christmas gift.
I got to look for a picture. See if
the caption says, "Happy snow day. I am using an astonishingly expensive hair dryer to remove all moisture from a chicken to maximize skin crispiness when I roast it." It earned her 1,600 likes and 100 comments. She went on to share the recipe for her roasted chicken, but fans were more interested in the first stage of her process, the hair dryer. For crisp skin, whether you're cooking a chicken or a duck or a fish, you want there to be as little water moisture as opposed to other parts of moisture as possible. Is sped up by a fan, and that's all a hairdryer really is, a handheld fan that you could pretty easily bring into the kitchen.
What the fuck?
I know. I thought this would be good for a cooking show.
Not cook a chicken with a blow dryer.
As it turns out.
Like this. Here's an example.
Right. As it turns out, she's not the first to use a hairdryer to rid excess moisture on meat before cooking. Isn't she? Helen credits cookbook author Marcella Hayes.
Helen.
As the originator of the idea in the 70s. But she's probably the first to use a luxury hair tool for the process. Fortunately, a $400 dryer is not necessary to get crispy chicken.
Oh my God!
You could use any hair dryer on the chicken, even one that doesn't have a cool setting. Although it'll smell a little chickeny.
A little chickeny.
That is fantastic.
Oh.
Is that chicken chickeny?
No, but your hair dryer's
gonna be chickeny. Yeah. Then the next day you do your hair and people are like, somebody cooking out somewhere?
I'd like some hot sauce. Yeah. What's that about?
You smelled broiled. Smelled a little broiled.
Oh, internet.
Well, you've seen those hot air cooking things, they set a whole chicken in, it rotates and it's all hot air fancy cooking, no oil.
The Ronco rotisserie, the set it and forget it?
I don't know if it's Ronco, but it's one of those commercials like that.
I love that commercial.
It's the same lady that has
one
all
went
the,
on for a long
she's
time.
She's got all the copper pots, the no stick, no this, no that. And then when you get them, they don't do anything.
Just a regular pot, turns stuff. Out.
Yeah.
I have a very brief last headline.
Oh, I have another little story that I had. We got all kinds of time.
So it's March Madness.
Madness.
So guess what procedure? Thing. Guess what procedure is popular during March Madness?
Layups.
What procedure? A medical procedure. Uh-huh. I'm going to assume this is. Oh no! Wait a minute.
Enemas.
Oh yeah. Wait. Are we going? I'm going to go for women. It could be.
It's fair too.
No. Oh. Okay. No. I was going to go for women. It would be any type of cosmetic surgery because their husband isn't going to give a shit about it. Nope. One. Number two, I'm going to go.
You're on
with,
the right track.
I'm going to go with vasectomies for men.
Yep. It's the winner.
Oh, got it.
Because they're told to recover just sitting on the couch.
Yeah. Just don't move and do a lot of activities.
So it turns out.
That's funny. Boys are dumb.
Many urologists see a spike in that procedure in March. Some clinics even advertise that it's the perfect time. You simply need to recover on the couch, doctor's orders. But it's not so painful that you can't watch the TV with a little beer. So it turns out this is a nationwide story almost yearly at this time of year. That people are like, cut them off. I want to watch TV for a week.
Boys are dumb.
Boys are dumb.
Boys are dumb. In so many ways. Absolutely.
That would be the worst way, though. No, fantasy football. Oh, judges. Mm-mm. Judges. Mm-mm.
Worse than that, fantasy baseball.
Oh, judges. Oh, yeah.
God, is there fantasy everything?
Yeah.
Is there? Wow. Oh, yeah.
There's a RuPaul Fantasy League. Are you playing?
Oh, you're 100% correct. There is. I see it every week.
Oh.
There is.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Clock the phrase.
As gays.
I almost joined.
Have sunk so low.
It's the straight people that brought it to us.
But we could have closed
but
the door.
But they've stolen so much from us.
Yeah.
I mean, in fairness, we took
but we
used
to walk
fantasy.
Away from that kind of shit. We didn't embrace it.
Yeah, but that's. Well, then they took Listen. Over. They also come to our bars and shit. And we're like, fuck that.
I gave somebody a big lecture on this just this weekend. Inclusivity goes two directions.
I know.
Goes two directions.
Yeah.
I'm not happy about it.
If you're
Next
have...
thing you know, there's going to be a gay guy being chased down the aisle by an owl.
And they're going to call it Hooters.
It's a dark, dark day in America.
The dark and stormy nights.
It's always good when you bring up a full circle.
Oh, I made it funny.
Really?
I said Stormy Knight. What's her name? Stormy Daniels. Wrong person. Oh my
so
God.
Close.
Did you see, and I've got it recorded, Have you caught up on any SNL?
I have them. I'll record.
Did you see Kate McKinnon do Betsy DeVos?
No. Oh yes.
Priceless.
Did she do it word for word?
Price. Oh God, it was so funny. She and I've determined she can literally be anybody.
Two things that made it across the sea: the Betsy DeVos interview in every language made it across.
Oh right, the 60 minutes one. Right, right.
The 60 minutes interview, and so did Kate McKinnon
doing her.
And the firing of McCabe was that his name?
Yeah.
Oh, we watched that
2 days before his pension.
We watched that all over the train.
Actually, it was 23 hours.
Yeah, that's going to court.
Oh, sure it is. Wow. And he can appeal that and all
He's
that
stuff. He's got a pretty
good chance. Oh, and Joe, some boring night in front of the fire. I will tell you all about high-speed trains and hitting 151 miles an hour on a train.
Sure.
He can't wait.
I don't blame him.
So anyway, Kate McKenna, if you Google it, find it. It was funny.
Something's made it across, and your internet changes to
Italian. We
think
she's America's best lesbian. Kate McKinnon. Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, the committee meets every Wednesday, and we took a vote.
Okay.
And Kate McKinnon is America's best lesbian.
Yeah, that's ABL. Yeah.
I didn't realize she was.
It's fair.
She is. Oh, yeah.
No idea.
Oh,
my God, yeah.
Recently voted upon, and then won.
By the committee.
Does she get a Crocs or a Subaru? I don't know what do you get?
It's still a toaster oven.
Oh, just a general gay?
No, that's the straight girl conversion prize, is the toaster oven.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right.
I didn't know.
Didn't realize.
Yeah.
This time it's a trip to Coachella.
And a tie-dyed shirt.
Yeah. And one day's cleaning of your trailer.
That you took to Coachella?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
You gotta drive it, yeah.
Speaking of poles getting replaced.
Just one day.
There's your segue for you. Crews have replaced a telephone pole in Providence, Rhode Island that was being held together by duct tape. A WJR-TV reports the pole was split in two several weeks ago when it was struck by a truck. A crew with the National Grid used tape to hold the pole together, and a supervisor with the utility deemed it safe for short-term use.
America's second best lesbian lives on that street.
She may be part of the National Grid company. A permanent repair was scheduled for next week, but the pole was replaced Friday after a resident expressed concerns about its safety. I don't know what happened. I would like to know more about this story. I'd like to see a picture of said pole wrapped in duct tape.
Be careful with your Googling on that, though.
Yeah.
I think you're not going like to see
a pole wrapped in duct tape.
I'm doing it.
Oh, speaking of which, okay, here's a segue. Duct tape. Are you all caught up on the... Are you all caught up on the assassination of Gianni Versace? Have you watched it to the end?
No, I didn't watch any.
And I'm not going to share everything. He dies in the end. I get that part. Oh. It was so wonderfully
now
done.
Now you spoil it for me.
It's... Yeah. We knew Versace died, but I mean the other kid dies. But it was done really well, and I had forgotten how long he spent there in plain sight, basically, and I just had forgotten that part of the story.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was really good. But the duct tape made me think of that because of he wraps everybody in duct tape before he kills them, or mostly. Just weird. Weird, weird, weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've heard nothing but good things about Darren Criss for the whole remainder of the show.
He's fantastic.
I think I've got four more to go. I fell way behind on TV, just working too much before I left, and then...
I don't know where you dropped off, what episode, but like when he... Have you got to the part where his dad leaves the country?
Yeah, and then like episode 5?
Okay. I think there's 9 episodes of it, I think. But no, it's so good. And I'm going to be very curious to see, because that would be an Emmy contender, correct? Because it was all television. Mm-hmm. I'll be very curious to see if he gets noms for Emmys.
And Ryan Murphy has a great reputation with the Academy. So usually everybody at least gets nominated for their work with his shows.
And he told a charming story on, I forget which one of the late night shows it was on, that during filming at one point they were all at Ricky Martin's house and Ricky was trying to make it all very accommodating for everybody. So at one point he's sitting in a room with, I'm going to get his name wrong, the guy who plays Gianni. He's with Penelope Cruz, Ricky Martin. I don't know if Ryan Murphy was there or not. Darren Criss is there with the guitar because they used to get together and like sing and do just fun stuff as a cast. And Ricky Martin, to make it just fun for everybody, brought in a crew and they all got pedicures. So he's like, Darren Criss is like, I'm in a room. I started by doing a stupid musical in high school about Harry Potter.
Right.
And now I'm sitting in a room with all of these people getting pedicures, playing guitar, singing.
Yeah. And I'm singing for my dinner. Yeah. And the fact is, like, I mean, how lovely would it be to hear Darren Criss on guitar harmonizing with Ricky Martin,
sure,
who's got a beautiful voice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, Ricky Martin didn't get everywhere on looks. He's got the talent to back that up singing wise. Like,
yeah. But anyway, I started Googling.
I was in my spank bank for a second. Excuse me.
Oh, wow.
Thinking about that.
I thought the bank was closed at this hour of the night.
That's all right. I got distracted because breaking news on the Facebook.
Oh, please do tell.
Apparently, there's a video that we have to watch after the show entitled "Jeremy Jordan Performs She Used to Be Mine" from Waitress.
Shut up.
Are you kidding? Stop the show.
People trying to kill me.
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
And so I can read it. Jeremy Jordan, "She Used to Be Mine."
Yeah, "She Used to Be Mine."
She used. Oh. Traditional spelling.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do to be.
Well, you can't go traditional spelling because I just learned how to spell the word massage.
Massage. That's it. That's what you learned also in the past 2 weeks.
I loved that.
How have I never seen it? I've been a member of Massage Envy.
Message Envy.
Message Envy, right.
I thought
he was just texting people.
I really thought you had to get it from context clues and a slight exaggeration of the pronunciation of massage. Like, I thought you got it at the end.
Mm.
No clue.
Yeah.
It's on, like, and then we went through all of the times I have written reviews of messages.
Okay.
And my fondness for licensed message therapists. I've been misspelling this word everywhere.
For a long time.
And not from someone who's like doesn't use them. Oh no. I have a chain of texts from this kid that was going to massage school where I ask him what days he's free to like fill me in for messages. And that motherfucker
and he responded.
Never once corrected
me. Well, the customer's always right. He's not
no.
Gonna...
You correct them when they're being stupid.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, and here we're going to end this right now.
Oh,
are you ready?
Stand by. We're ending something.
Mark the time.
8:42.
If you are ever encountered by some just prick that tells you it's pronounced mozzarella or prosciutto, they're fucking idiots.
They're probably from New Jersey.
They're probably from somewhere awful.
New Jersey.
Could you tell us we were going to do a cheese segue? I wasn't ready for this.
The Italians weren't ready either. Every letter, they pronounce the whole diphthong. So saying five takes a week and a half. There is no such thing as those words. So I asked two different tour guides. I'm like, if someone says that to you, what do you think? He's like, that they don't know how to speak Italian. I'm like, thank you. Thank you for answering my question. Because my cousin last summer was a dick about it. Well, you probably call it mozzarella, but we call it mozzarella. And I'm like, fuck you. So I checked with Italian people. It's mozzarella. Maybe it's not mozzarella, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to put the accent may not be on the A, but it's not mozzarella.
I'm glad we got through that all together.
Oh, I'm so bitter for so long about that shit.
See, and I find it hilarious because my favorite mispronouncer lives in my house.
Oh.
Which one of your family?
Sharon.
Oh, okay.
Clearly, yeah.
Well, you know.
And she gets real mad because I tell her Spanish accent's awful. You're Italian? Mm-mm. Well, but my family's Italian. I don't care who they are. That's not how you say any of this shit. None of those sounds are any of that.
Uh-uh.
Okay.
Mm-mm. And then and then worse yet, the oldest, just following her right down that road. It's awful.
But it is bruschetta. That part's right. There is a K sound in that.
Interesting.
Hmm. That part's right. I got to give them that. But there is no mozzarella. There is no prosciutto. They pronounce every goddamn letter in that sentence, and that's why it's bruschetta. Because there's a fucking C in there and you don't not pronounce anything.
That seems smarter.
And if it's CCH, then it's a K. Then you're in Montecchiello. Like, what the hell, people?
Well, it's like the wine. Is it the Chianti? It's
exactly.
Not Chianti.
Uh huh.
It's Chianti.
Some Fava.
Look at me. Look at me making wine references.
Look at you.
Aren't you proud?
Claudia Farovia is very proud of you.
I need some mozzarella.
We should have made Claudia Farovia the drinking word because now I'm drunk enough to say it. I mean, I did scream it out 4 or 5 times at Postino, but they didn't know what they were.
They don't even know. Why would they know? They don't need to know that.
It's a Southern Sicilian American butchering. There you go.
Thanks, Jenny.
It feels about right.
Oh, but I forget. Were you in? You weren't in Sicily, were you?
No, that's the island now.
Picture it.
Yeah, that's what I was. Did you have an opportunity to go picture it, Sicily, 1922?
We did it for everywhere else.
Though. Oh, did you?
We were good.
Oh, got it.
Gabagool.
Yes, there's that. Do you have anything to even make up for entertainment? Because I'd like to tease that before we do another.
No obsessions.
You want to do obsessions now?
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Clearly, I only prepared for one segment. Don't deny me it. Well, I mean, I knew what I did with the last couple of weeks.
Right.
Especially with the flyer
drill. We can do anything we want. It's our show.
Yeah.
It's your show.
Oh, that's right. How did I not know that? As I walked into the studio just off of my kitchen. Okay, well, then let's try.
I would have gone with clues.
Then let's try this.
Context.
Obsession. Are you obsessed? Is it keeping you up at night? Do you find yourself constantly making references only to be met with blank stares?
Obsession.
This segment is for you.
Obsession.
Whether it's musicals, mowers, Motown, Subarus, or Sondheim, it's time to share your obsession.
Obsession.
With the show, with Clayton McKee.
Wait, so we're doing this right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why I played the intro.
It's so her traditional response.
It was a shitty production meeting.
Okay, so my obsession is a late to the party, but so glad I got their obsession. I have finally signed on to the Goldbergs.
Oh.
I can't. First of all, I can't stop watching. Every time I turn on the TV.
Fucking giving, Murray.
I've got all kinds of other shit like stacking up on my watch list, and I keep just 20 minutes at a time going through the Goldbergs. And as it turned out, like, I didn't realize I'm Adam's age.
Right.
Like, his memories are my memories.
Right.
Ridiculous.
Oh, that's
ridiculous.
Funny. That's funny.
Yeah, he was born in 76. I'm 78. So I'm Adam.
Right.
And had some of the same costumes, as it turns out.
And that show is so
delightful. Cute and funny and just the right amount of heartwarming and nostalgic. And I'm not very nostalgic, but...
And there's that one segment that they say no laughs here.
Yeah.
You will only... There's the one segment of every show that just has the feels.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize the same lesson every week, but you're so enchanted by it because as soon as you think, oh, come on, we've seen this before, then they show you the home video that goes along with the memory, and you're like, it's so sincere.
I just passed the New Kids on the Block episode.
MKOTB?
I had the pillowcase.
I have not gotten the fever.
I've literally had some of the clothing that they wear. Fucking Brock, that I work with at Cobalt. He sends me a message. Apparently, he was watching it, and he said, oh, my God, I had that shirt, and then pulled it out of his closet.
Oh, I applaud that. I applaud that. You still got it.
I went over to pick up some mannequins at his house, and he's like, don't ask.
Yes. You knew where I was going.
And he like, pulls it out, and he's like, see, this is the shirt. It still fits. And fucking put it on.
Well, yeah, that one, he could fit in anything he had in high school.
Literally.
I can just stand and look at it.
Yeah.
Look at that sweater.
It's just a memory.
I'm pretty sure anything that old, I've already set on fire twice and abandoned completely.
I think the only thing I still have is I had some old t-shirts, but my concert choir sweater, my red sweater, it's the only thing I still have.
I think all I have from high school is a box of photos and a yearbook. Like, everything else has been burned.
Oh, from actual high school, yeah. Box of pictures and a yearbook. And then I saved, in the whole, like, cleansing of the house last year, I saved my favorite shirt from the 80s. And my favorite shirt from the 90s.
Oh. Good thing it was two different shirts.
Yeah, it's kind of like a time capsule, you know what I mean?
I see.
This is my personal...
Were they both green?
No. No, one was so cool. From the 80s.
Was it silk?
I think we're going to need a picture at some point of this.
Oh, yeah. I'll take a picture. Okay. It's pink overall, but it's hard to tell that it's pink because it's Queens. It's the playing card queen of...
Hearts.
All the different suits.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Just laid out over top of it. So it's in the picture, not the actual, like, they're not laid on there. It's an actual fabric.
Look at Queen's sweater. See what you get.
But it's a short sleeve pink shirt that just has the queen of every
suit
all over it. And it's so cool. And I wore it for the art festival in Buffalo in the 80s, the Allentown Art Festival.
And what was the 90s shirt?
The 90s shirt was this one from Vancouver, and it's this woven, beautiful, glisteny, like, mother of pearl shirt. It really is pretty. It got me laid a couple times.
Then it was worth every penny.
And I had to tell people, I'm like, I'm not as cute as this shirt. When this shirt comes off, dream's over.
Too bad. Lights
down.
Yeah.
Lights out. Okay, so now you're ready for the entertainment segment.
No, obsession.
We didn't do your obsession yet. We were still on me.
Oh, we're still on you?
I have
lost complete time of all this.
We went from my obsession with the Goldbergs to the story about Brock and the
shirts. Oh, that's how we got to you.
To shirts.
God damn it.
to nostalgia, to things that we kept. Right, carry on.
Is that your only obsession? Because sometimes you have more than one.
I feel like I had a way better one like on the way here, but I don't remember it. So okay. Can't have been that good.
All right.
I don't know.
Can't have been. I enjoyed that.
Couldn't
have been that good.
I have been, in my week back, obsessed, lost my mind over, gone another way and back over Schitt's Creek. Cannot.
I'm behind. Don't spoil it.
Too late.
Do not.
How close are you?
Two episodes.
So what songs are important to you at this point?
Just one.
Which one?
Which one?
The first one, duh.
Which one's that?
Which one's, yeah.
I like how we're tag teaming now.
Hang on, let me get
Is it the acapella version of Simply the Best?
Yeah, yeah. At the open mic thing the end.
All right.
You'll tell me if I should pull the fire alarm, won't you?
So, I'm not spoiling anything by saying...
Better not.
My theory of why he picked the best to sing. Everybody, take notes.
I'm not taking notes.
I would.
Yeah, two episodes, because I saw the barbecue, too.
Okay.
So you're right. Really, okay.
Yeah.
So you're really only like one episode behind.
Two.
Maybe two.
Sure.
Okay.
The jazz guy and the gesture.
It all comes back to Moira. And I think that in her 80s heyday, when she was giving birth to children, namely David.
David.
She was obsessed with Tina Turner.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she probably listened to, because she's the right age. It's the story of an older woman coming back, finding her fame. And I think like the age just works out right for Catherine O'Hara /
Moira.
That would be a very like big moment for her. Like the Tina Turner comeback of a woman in her 40s or late 40s, early 50s, coming back and having this huge career later in life would have really played well with Moira. And she would have really listened to the shit out of the best, because that's like 6 or 7 years later. So she'd have already bought into... This is the obsession. I mean, I've thought about it this much. She would have bought into the Tina Turner story so much that when the best came out, that song would have just rung a bell with her. And like all of us that have songs that their mom liked, David has been probably listening to Tina Turner his whole life without really even knowing it. Like, just dragged along on the mom songs, like Me with Julie Andrews. Like, she listens to it all the goddamn time. I have no power. And that he probably still listens to Tina Turner, even if he doesn't mean to. Like, he probably, like, turns it up on the radio or, like, finds it on Apple Music or something. Like, when the Tina Turner comes on, he goes a little bit harder. And I'm thinking that's what the boyfriend heard, was that he liked that song. Like, it just makes sense that David would like the best. Like, it would follow from his childhood. Like, that song would just kind of follow him as, like, a great love song. Because the lyrics... really good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now what I feel like I need to do, and Dan Levy, as you're listening to this show, and I know you are,
I think
I need to isolate this little bit of audio, and we need to submit this to Dan and give him your hypothesis of why he wrote this, and find out if there is an underlying backstory to Moira and Patrick. I can remember their names.
Oh, we should tweet it at him.
Exactly.
I really don't think there is. I think they just found a song that fit, and I found a way. Like, I think they found a song they could afford.
And you wrote the backstory for it?
And it just fit. Like, why does that song make...
Because where would Patrick have ever learned this?
But it would be like, you know how you're, like, around someone all the time, and eventually you're like, oh, I guess I know all the words of Last Dance, because this fucker listens to it. Like, even subconsciously, like, you listen to a couple songs a little bit more than the rest. And it just makes sense that Moira would have been on that Tina Turner train, like, as an older actress trying to make a comeback, like, constantly and, like, constantly written off as a has-been, that, like, one of the biggest has-beens since Cher made a giant comeback in the 80s. Like, it just times out, and he's about that age. Like, Dan Levy's playing about 30-something.
34. His character is 34.
Yeah, so it all makes sense that the later song and like probably like this where everybody jumped off the Tina Turner train would have been the best.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? It would have just been a song. And so like in the later episode, his knowing that song that well just makes that, and when you get a couple episodes further, that will make sense as to why he knows that song. Like,
I have 92 more episodes of The Goldbergs to watch first. Okay.
First? Wow.
But you know what I mean? Like,
fortunately, it's only like 46 hours.
The way that David knows that, like, the song itself has one meaning, and it could be just a song that he knew, but the way that David knew it, like, you couldn't learn that in 2 days. Like, only a couple days have passed in Schitt's Creek land.
No, it was 4 months.
No, not since The Best to the Best. Not between those two songs. It's only like
No, you're right, because they were apart like 10 days or whatever the fuck it was. Right.
So there isn't...
It's been a week. Since David and Patrick have officially been on a break in their relationship.
Yeah, because it's 7 gifts. So there hasn't been enough time for him to, like, prepare... You know what I mean? So that's just a song that has to mean something to him. And that's what got me about that.
Wow, you really have OCD'd this.
Because it hit home so hard. Like that.
To you?
Yeah.
How high were you?
No, not at all.
How many edibles were involved?
Fair point.
Because this feels like some...
But you know how when something
some
is...
mind-altering...
Yes, Jenny. Moira, M-O-I-R-A, Moira Rose is the character's name that Catherine O'Hara is playing in Schitt's Creek. Yes.
Yeah, Moira. So,
and David is Dan Levy's character, the
son. You
know
when like, because you get hit with something, and it's like, oh, that's a fun point. Like, that's an unusual way to look at it. But then they hit you back, and are they playing by the rules? Like, if somebody comes back with something that perfect to counter that first thing that could have been a fluke, but to have somebody prepared 10 days later that well, and that, like, it just felt like it came from the, like...
I look at things so different because I apparently just took it at the surface. He just gave back what he was getting.
You can give back what you're giving, and then you can hit every horn, and you can get the nuances.
And that was a bottle of Prosecco that he said that he found that made him do that.
Yes, the actor.
Right.
But to come from a character and come from the writers, like, there's just something more that has to come from it. Like, you have to be a little bit in tune with, like, the time and the place. You know what I mean? So I'm thinking in real life...
Because he wrote it. Now I'm getting what you're saying.
The guy that played Patrick picked a song that they had the rights to. And I think he just stumbled across a song that Daniel Levy just knew and liked. Because he's the right age, and it probably came from his mother, too.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, people in their 30s probably have that in.
So you're analyzing this in two ways. You're doing a character plot for this whole thing, but what you're really saying is that because Dan Levy's the writer... That really, this is all Dan Levy's shit. Of he knew the song that was, the song was important to Dan Levy in real life.
In real life,
so he made it work in this story so that it could be played and done, and an homage to Tina Turner, maybe an homage to his mother.
I don't think an homage to Tina Turner at all. I think it's just a song he liked. And when you watch that episode, you kind of get like that he didn't just learn that. Like, a bottle of Prosecco is not going to teach you where the horn blasts are. It's not going to teach you where the bridge is, and that it's time to like. Like, he knows song. That's not just somebody lip-syncing for their lives. That's someone that, like me with MacArthur Park. When it gets to the bridge, I know we're somewhere special. And when he gets to the bridge of that song, he knows it. And he sells the bridge. Like, it's just a little bit deeper than I lip-synced for my boyfriend. There's a difference between I know the words of this song, and I know where the horns are coming, and I know how to, like... do my
punch
shoulder
it.
Like, I know what's coming. Like, I didn't just memorize this song. I know this song. And it just, and the emotion of that second part was so beautifully done, because
I was sitting there crying,
right? And that's what I thought
totally
you'd buy.
Was.
I can't believe you have all these questions about it, because to me it was,
well, I didn't analyze it like you. I don't see it the same way.
Well, no, you did, because you cried at it, but to me it was like an emotion. It was a payoff. It was a
right
well,
I got
payoff.
That, but I didn't create a backstory in my
head.
Oh,
that's my own crazy.
Right, no, I understand. I got the emotion, because that's all I was looking at, was he's giving back. Because David is so void of emotion, barely on the surface.
Right, so to go to that depth.
So I didn't look at it go into the depth. He just figured, okay, that was maybe that's what I needed. That was an emotional thing for him, so I should do the same.
But you've seen bad drag queens. Like, you
every
know,
fucking day of my life.
Right, so you know when someone is just mouthing along the words and somebody actually knows the song. And you could even sell me that in the last 10 days he found the real version of Simply the Best and listened to it for 10 days. And I would buy that too, but not with what he gave it. Like, somewhere deep, somebody on that set knows the song Simply the Best. It was too good. That moment, wait till you see it. You're an episode away. Wait till you see it. It's just beautiful.
Right on.
It really is.
The other thing that really pays off in that episode, and I won't give anything away, just...
Yes, is this a new segment? Analyze Dan Levy. I'm in love.
Schitt's Creek on Q-Talk. What you will enjoy, and I laughed out loud, pay attention to the gift that Johnny gives Stevie.
Okay.
because he's notorious at bad gifts. And just, that's all I'll tell you. But at one, I laughed so hard. It was priceless. It was so, so, so good.
My obsession with Dan Levy right knows no bounds. It knows none. Hashtag Dan Levy.
I enjoy the hell out of him. If he would just show up, I'd be happy to. Mm-hmm. You can tell Rachel Maddow that.
We're still in sweater weather.
I don't think he's ever not.
Well, we are. I don't want him to come here at 120 and die in a sweater.
Oh, I think he'll be fine. I'll turn the air way down.
Goddamn Canadians.
Oh, it was. Canadians. It's just, it's
what
it's
you obsessed enjoyable. With? That was mine.
Well, I'm a little bit there.
That was a big one.
A little bit there.
It's obsession. It's truly.
I'm actually kind of concerned.
The other thing that I've been oddly obsessed with in the past week, and it really does show your fitness or lack thereof.
A physical?
No. you know how singing is really is a physical act, because for those, unless you're just doing nothing with singing, but to really to really sell a song and to really perform a song, your breathing has to be good. You have to be able to know all the words, and if you're adding movement and motion and anything else to this, it's a physical task.
Is this another Tina Turner story?
No, it
I
is
missed
not.
The theme.
No, however,
we do it, Proud Mary.
However, in respect to Tina Turner, at 70 whatever years old when she quit doing all of her concerts, you're thinking, you're a 70-year-old woman in heels, running all over the place, singing your heart out, breathing on, everything is on cue. Like, she had it all together. For some reason, I've fallen back to, and if you don't know this song, please look it up and find it. Family Guy, and Seth MacFarlane is so fucking brilliant, and he does so many amazing songs. He writes, they produce, he sings them in character. For example, one of the things that they did was they redid the old Bing Crosby and... I can't think who he was singing with. Bob Hope. Road to Rhode Island, or Road to wherever the hell they were going. Right, but they redid it.
It's right next to Rhode Island.
It's right, but the song that they redid the song called Road to Rhode Island, where Brian and Stewie are on a train.
Such a loose show.
There's another one that's called, that's a tribute to Booze, where Peter goes to an AA meeting and they sing an entire thing to B-O-O-Z-E. He's Booze. They do this whole thing. Well, there's another song called Down Syndrome Girl.
Oh, no.
And that song has me, because I just enjoy the hell out of the song.
When the cat's away.
Well, there's a reference to a cat in the song, oddly.
Can we hear it a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. I'll be happy to. But the song, as Stewie's character, he does this. It's not a rap, but it's such a fast-paced little phrasing that he does.
Syncopation,
perhaps? You really learn how out of shape you are, because you can't breathe and do that. It's hard to do. It really is hard to do.
You don't know my life.
Oh, yeah, I do. We'll try that. We'll watch the video of this Jeremy Jordan, then I'm going to show you Down Syndrome Girl.
Yes!
And it'll be good. Yes. So hang on. Hang on just a second.
Why Sharon stopped asking me what we do at the show?
Downs Syndrome, traditional way.
Traditional spelling, yeah.
You're right. Girl. Yeah. So, hang on a minute. No, wait. What have you done?
Just trying to find somewhere that doesn't say camera here.
Well,
I'm waiting for Marty to pop out like we're on To Catch a
Predator. And there's also a brilliant tap dance dance break in the middle of it, which is fabulous.
I'm gonna pee.
Well,
not here, please.
Well, then I'm gonna wait till you come back to play.
That would be lovely.
No, we're not even dance breaking, but it's just amazing when you realize that he did that, and it sounds like there's no edits. And then I found a video of him doing it live.
Yeah.
At a Comic-Con event. And it's amazing what he's put together. Ah, I'm trying to get to it. I'm trying to sing it enough so that I can breathe properly enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love complicated, brilliant lyrics.
I'm a ways off from. Oh, but then I looked up the lyrics, because a couple of words I couldn't make out. I couldn't figure what it was. It's how he ties it all together is just so funny. There's a reference to Thomas Jefferson in it.
Well, thank goodness, because Hamilton's all the rage.
There's a lot. Yeah. And the one Stewie's in drag in part of the number. Just, that's what makes sense in Family Guy. Stewie winds up a one-year-old
makes sense.
Walking on stilts in a dress and an orange wig. So, I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it?
That feels
completely
normal. Totally normal, yeah.
Hal has, not randomly left the studio. He's been drinking since noon, and all the wine is finally processed through.
And we're the better for it, honestly.
Who's not, really?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
A drunken Al show is a good time.
Always is.
In my opinion.
Yes.
I feel like this show used to have breaks.
Well, yeah, but not this many. That was part of the part of the structuring of the show, was so that we could time out the breaks, and we added the break in the middle of it. So, anyhow,
I lost my bladder.
So, So the songs are...
You've got to look your best tonight, you tubby little parasite, because there's a lovely lady, okay, and she's waiting for you.
Okay, so it starts out like that. It's all been happy singing, yada, yada, yada. It goes through this whole thing. They come to the middle of it. And they do a where's the tap dance? Oh, then there's a ballad part.
And her smile is like the sweetest summer flower.
So there's a little middle point right there. So then they go to a dance break, which is fun. So then you get to the end here where he's where. Hang on, where's the shorty bus?
It sounds
coming
like
in?
Now that we're dancing from Hello Dolly.
So hang on. Kind of so it gets into this.
Between the two of us, we'll get you on that shorty bus, and then you're gonna take it for a whirl.
Okay, so then he goes to this whole rap thing at the end.
Press that super thrilling wish fulfilling you who's spilling ultra swinging bone.
And it gets just louder and faster. And I don't know if it's patterned after something else. I have no idea. Walking, poorly pouting, poopy sprouting for some reason. It keeps going. Fascinating, captivating, happiness and joy creating. And then the big finish, she goes, here you go.
Down syndrome, go!
Right, so you've just got to watch the whole thing. It's an entire episode that Chris, the character, has fallen in love with a girl at school who apparently has the condition of Down syndrome.
And I think it's voiced by Becky from Glee. I'm not mistaken,
no idea.
That was her.
But the song is just so fast, so I've just been singing it over and over and over and laughing because people think I'm listening to big band music as I'm driving around, you know, and they're like, hey, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, Down syndrome.
Yeah. It reminds me of not getting married today. Have you ever tried to keep up with that?
Yeah.
I need a lyric sheet over here, a cup of coffee over here.
So I do that thing where I answer back the lyrics, like, you know what I mean? Like, I can always do the second half of the lyrics.
Jenny, no, she is not in it. However, her sons, her sister, her manager, we're all at the premiere that started in London this past week, and a friend of mine, and I say friend using it as a broad brush, a guy I've known for many years named Larry, oh God, I almost said Larry Turner, but that's not right. For crying out loud.
Coincidence.
Larry.
Cousin Larry.
Why am I blanking out on Larry's last name? He plays Tina Turner in the Diva Show in Vegas. He was there. He was flown over and apparently hung out with everybody that was part of it. And at one point, the after party, he was there in Tina drag and did something, some performance there.
Oh, wow.
Larry Edwards. His name's Larry Edwards. That's the name. But Tina is not in the show. And I'm going to assume, similar to what she said about the movie What's Love Got to Do with It, when they asked her if she'd ever seen it, she's like, why? I lived it. I don't need to see it.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that the musical is going to be kind of the same thing. It's about her life. She's like,
but it'll probably be like the Whitney Houston, The Bodyguard one, where like, this is as close we're going to get to her life without the wife beating.
Right.
Although, the Donna Summer musical uses a little bit of abuse.
Does it?
A little bit of bad boyfriendry. But like, the Ike thing, you can't gloss that off in one, you know, Nutbush City Limit and he punches her like...
Right. Can't tap dance your way like, around
yeah,
that
yeah,
one.
Ooh, dance break. Yeah, no, can't do
like,
that.
There's not 50 years of happiness. Or, you know what I mean? There's kind of a while. So I'd be curious to see how that goes. But if they're doing it like they're doing these other ones, it's
well, Madonna,
just,
someone...
It, yeah, it's just a superficial way to listen to the hits and get just the briefest little...
Which I'm on board with.
Just the skipping over the top of the life story, you know, with a lot of good songs. So I'm assuming the Tina Turner one is in the mode of the Cher one that's coming out.
I didn't realize there was a Cher one coming out.
Yeah, the Cher one comes out in the fall. And
I know the other thing.
But they're following that. I mean, the Jersey Boys one that everyone is the model of. The Jersey Boys one, because they had the permission of Tony, whatever his name was, they had the permission of the one guy to really go down and dirty. And his story was like really tragic. And, you know, Donna's is a little tragic, but I don't know how deep they'll go into, like, these other ones. I mean, I thought they went too deep for Donna, but well, whatever.
Other little obsession would be, and I'm sure you've all seen it as well, I'm very curious to see the movie when it comes out. Renee Zellweger is playing Judy Garland in the Judy biopic that's, I don't know what channel, I don't know who, what network is doing this.
Is it, oh, it's a TV thing?
It is biopic.
I'm sorry, biopic.
Like mozzarella, yeah. It's biopic.
Like... Biography.
But
picture.
They showed some. They showed some side by sides of Judy performing at the concerts in London, and then right next to it, they had Zellweger. And I mean, pretty damn.
Oh, there was
on.
Side by side video too.
No. They just were showing stills.
Yeah,
just some stills from.
I've seen.
I was looking for video.
Photos.
I was looking for video because I'm very curious to see how the mannerisms are. Because I mean, she's holding the microphone and she's all like like Judy always was. That's right. What Zellweger. But I'm like, how much? How do we get her? It?
Allegedly, it's just 1 year in her life.
Yeah, it's
I don't know if someone else is playing her for other parts.
No, it's it's that concert series she did in London before her death.
So I wasn't sure how they were doing that, but so it's that last year of her life. Yeah. So I'm
just, and it's not a movie. It's a mini series.
No, it's a movie
made for TV.
I think it's a movie.
I honestly don't know. It's
but
just honestly, called
by, dear Google, from
what
I
know. It hasn't been picked up yet, so I don't think we know what form it will take.
But they just started shooting it like last week, and so those first pictures had leaked out of. Because
I hadn't heard anything about it until somebody came by to watch some show tunes, and
so my impression is that they're leaking the things to get some more money on board. Like to get a distributor.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to, speaking of show tunes, your show tunes night. Could you throw some Family Guy in there, because they're all, a lot of them are takeoffs of original show tune songs.
Totally.
For example, I heard one last night that I had never heard before. It's the and oddly, Rush Limbaugh voices himself in an episode of Family Guy, and the whole the song is from How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, and it's called. What do they call it in Family Guy? The something Republican something. And they're just
The Brotherhood of Man?
I think it is the Brotherhood of Man. Yeah.
And it is a brotherhood.
Something like that, yeah.
A man, a benevolent brotherhood. A man, a noble time and binds all human hearts and minds into one brotherhood of man. Oh, aren't you proud to be? I did that musical. It was horrible.
Stand by. They released the one photo that I saw.
We were terrible.
All the widgets. Whatever widget you make.
Judy Garland film. Somebody tell me something more about it.
As far as I know, it's being filmed, but they don't have any kind of distribution project for it. So it's probably going to play at a festival somewhere in the hopes of being bought.
I knew nothing else about it.
I'm assuming they're getting ready for like Cannes or something to like.
But she looked fantastic. And it's funny, I never thought Zellweger would look good again at anything after all the horrible plastic surgery she had done. Because she used to be cute.
Zellweger?
Yeah.
Yeah, something went wrong.
But if it lands you the Judy Garland movie, I mean...
Oh, yeah, she's a little
made up. But please, God, don't let her sing.
Oh, no, I'm sure she's lipping. She has to be lipping to everything.
I don't know.
But the other thing I was always hoping for, and I haven't seen that either. And it's so unfortunate there's no filming of anything she did at Carnegie Hall. Unless it pops up somewhere, you know, somebody finds it in their attic that they've got an entire film of the entire Carnegie Hall concert they'll just sync that with the audio. But I have to assume that the London concerts that she did, and I know this is stimulating to everybody else out there in the world.
They want
to
know about this.
I'm sure that they put her through watching films of Judy doing the concert.
Oh, I'm sure.
So she's spent weeks or months analyzing
there
all
are,
this.
There are films here and there of those last concerts.
Well, actually, she kind of just has to watch her show, like the '60s Judy show, to get a lot of the mannerisms.
Yeah, but then you got to take it a little bit further because she was ill. Like the
right.
In hindsight, the Judy years were healthy. The Judy Garland show years,
right? Though painful in some cases to watch, just because she had to make a buck. Like that's the reason she had to have that. She did that show.
Wow.
Have to watch that on rewind.
All right, so the official synopsis for the film reads, quote, Winter, 1968. And showbiz legend Judy Garland arrives in swinging London to perform in a sellout run at the Talk of the Town. It is 30 years since she shot to global stardom in The Wizard of Oz. But if her voice has weakened, its dramatic intensity has only grown as she prepares for the show, battles with management, charms musicians, and reminisces with friends and adoring fans. Her wit and warmth shine through. Even her dreams of romance seem undimmed as she embarks on a courtship with Mickey Deans, her soon-to-be fifth husband. And yet, Judy is fragile. After working for 45 of her 47 years, she's exhausted, haunted by memories of a childhood lost to Hollywood. And gripped by a desire to be back home with her kids.
And laced out like crazy.
Will she have the strength to go on? Spoiler alert, no.
They didn't drag her dead off a stage, but it was pretty close.
Of us have reached that age.
Like,
How bad has it got to be that we can't make it through 47?
Well, none of us have been pushed like that.
I was tired.
None of us have ever been pushed like that. That's crazy.
What's the difference? Like,
right.
That's a hard life to give up. You know what I mean? To just.
Well, then the other thing you have to factor in, aside from that, aside from the drugs and all the pushing they did when she was younger, all of the mental shit that she went through because of, you know,
marrying the gay fellas. Well, and
there was that too. No, I was even thinking just for the studios, like if she wasn't good enough for this, or they had to do this to her to make her good enough for that, or you know, I'm sure there was constantly mental thing that went on too that again none of us have ever been through.
Right.
I mean, I don't believe that any of us have ever been through like that.
I don't know.
Coming up later, at some point in the future, we're going to have something about Judy in a new movie that Renee Zellweger is starring in.
Yeah, I don't have anything.
And I'm very curious to find out about that. Oh, now.
About studio.
This might be, you know what, we're just going to do this because eventually we're, entertainment. Are you recording, or do you have any interest in Trust? The what Getty story. This? The Getty.
Oh, yes.
Mom watched the first one. I haven't watched it. I have it recorded. But Mom is like, she texts me. She's like, this is going to be good. This is going to be a good series. So I'm very curious to see how this goes. Because it's the Gettys in the early 70s.
Trust in one on AMC called The Terror or something like that. And I don't know how they're doing it, but I think it's based on a book I read called Kingdom of Ice. About the ships that went up looking for what they thought was going to be like the equivalent of the Gulf Coast. The Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
What's that called?
The Gulf of Mexico?
Didn't they call it the Northwest Passage?
No.
They were looking for to get across?
You know how there's the Gulf Stream? Gulf Stream brings the... That's why the beach is in the...
The Jet Stream.
No, the Gulf Stream. The Gulf Stream is why the ocean is warm when you're in the Carolinas, but it's cold in California because they don't have a Gulf Stream. They don't have that warm water going up the coast. So there was all these ships that took what they thought would be an equivalent of the Gulf Coast up to the Arctic. And when they went up there, they got trapped because there is no such thing.
Okay.
There is no warm water that flows north on that side of the ocean. And they got trapped in the ice. So I'm curious to see if this is going to be the retelling with a little bit of a selling it as a horror movie. But it was called Kingdom of Ice, and it was a terrific book, if that's what they're making into. And it's kind of scary because these people went up there knowing they were going to be snowed in for 6 months. Like, they went to get locked in the ice to hopefully get let loose by this mysterious
warm
water.
Nope.
And then they ended up just walking to Russia. Spoiler alert.
There's that. Okay, so I don't know if you're probably not going to be able to tease this at all, but we're gonna try it and see what happens.
Oh, I have nothing.
Come on, we're going to do a break. You're going to take a pee? We're going to come back?
Love, Simon opened. Big gay movie. Made money. It's the first studio production. Big budget movie and wide release about a gay boy ever.
I've been captured by yet another Shonda Rhimes witchcraft.
Oh.
See, there's something.
And the Walking Dead just gets worse and worse.
Oh, there's that. All right, we're coming right back with the final 40-some-odd minutes of this show with this and Al and Kat and me, and we'll see what's going to happen. Stand by. Good luck to all of you.
Hey, girl, you okay?
You're listening to Hugh Talk America.